Hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast focused on spiritual warfare. I'm Steve Hemphill, and Battle Plan is an ongoing discussion of how we put our faith into action. And today we have an interview. This is one of my interview podcasts, and this is maybe the most important person ever to this ministry of Battle Plan because he started everything off. This is Bob Sapel. Bob, thank you for being here today, and welcome to the show. Honored to have you. If many of you have been following me and Battle Plan and Active Faith, our ministry name for years, you'll know Bob is the one who was called Bill. We hid his name for a long time in the original story of the guy that was a friend of a friend who was not in a good place at the time we met, and he's the reason we started trying using the stakes in the beginning, and it exploded into a whole ministry. By the way, we've ordered over 250,000 stakes now. And I called the guy yesterday. We're almost out again, so I'm fixing to order more. So who would have thought? So Bob is also, if you've seen our Taking Ground pilot episode of a film series, he is the focus. His story is the focus of that series. And obviously, we couldn't cover everything that happened in even in our initial meeting each other and the staking of his property there. But the overview of that was covered very well. But I will tell you that I'm going to try to be a little bit sensitive to Bob today as we talk about this together, because he's lived this story. It was very real to him. He had lost a son. He was angry at God, and it took him a long time to get past all that. And now Bob is a faithful Christian. He prays for me all the time. We are friends and stay in touch. We don't live in the same town anymore, but we consider each other very good friends. And again, it's just a great honor to have you on the podcast. We're going to kind of let me start with a prayer, and then we'll open up discussing. God, thank you for Bob. Thank you that he's still here today. I remember, Father, the day I met him, that he was so close to taking his own life, and in such fear and depression, and being manipulated by our unseen enemies. And just thank you that he's still here. Thank you for his prayers for me and for our ministry. Thank you for the friendship we share. Thank you for his family, for his faithful wife, and for just the love and camaraderie we share with each other. Thank you how you led us together and taught us both about how to clean up the land and make a difference in our community and help people become free from fear and depression and suicidal thoughts and anxiety and also addictions of all kinds. We just know your word is powerful. We trust your word. We trust you. And we thank you for leading us together to a place where we could find out a way to make a difference on the land and the place you created. Lead us today in our discussion together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we met through a mutual friend. You used to hunt together, and your kids were friends together. And he mentioned to me that you had a spiritual warfare problem. And we met on a Saturday morning, and everything changed. Tell me, I guess let me start with, if you want to tell your side of the story. They've heard my side, and tell me your thoughts of going through some of that. Just kind of lay that out for us, how that went down. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and let me say right quickly that did you know that I was raised a cessationist? Do you know what a cessationist is? A cessationist is someone who's taught that all miracles ended in the first century and all demonic activity ended when Jesus ascended. But I was taught, Yeah, I was taught that that didn't happen in today, that demons were only here to let Jesus prove he was the Son of God. And when Jesus ascended, all that stopped. So I was brainwashed into thinking those kind of evil things can't happen today. But and which normally would have made me think you were crazy when I heard your story. And let our mutual friend tell me, listen, he's a level-headed guy. He's not crazy, and he's got this and this and this happening. But you're right. We did play that down in the episode. We didn't want to run people off, and also we're trying to help gently bring people along the path of maybe this does really happen today, and that needs to be carefully done. Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah, it's not there. It's not there. So you were that's interesting that that struck you, that we played down how how drastic things were. So go ahead, go with that with your description. Yeah, we did. Yeah. 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 Tell me some of your other most vivid memories of that day. Yeah. By myself. When I went by myself the first time you talked about it. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. You didn't know it, but I was too. Yeah. In fact, since you brought that up, and I'm glad you did, because that's one of my vivid memories of this experience too. And I did write about it in the Prayer Satan Hates book in some detail. But when you kept hitting that thing with, you were, like you said, you were giving it all you had. And it was just the metal was bending over, it was spreading out. That angle iron was thick, so it wasn't going to bend, but it was spreading. And And so I was sitting here thinking, oh no, I have put God's name on the line, and he has put it in right on top of a rock. What am I going to do? I'm embarrassed. And then before I even knew what I was doing, I remember patting you on the back and saying, let me help you. And what I was gonna, yeah, pile of dirt. Which makes me think we were hitting the concrete that was supporting the stop sign. They put concrete around the base of those. And well, see, let me finish my part. So when I patted you on the back and I said, let me help you, I was going to help you by moving it. I was going to move it. I was going to say, oh no, let me put it in a better place, move it over here. And I didn't. I thought, well, before I move it, let me just hit it once. And I hit it, and you couldn't see me because you were behind me, but my eyes got as big as dollars, and I went, it went down 2 inches, and we only had about 6 inches left, to go. And so I hit it again, and it went down a couple more inches, and I just went, okay, well, good. But this was shocking me, and you were standing back there and all, and you, I thought I was all confident, and I was going, I can't believe God spread the, he spread this rock out or this concrete. He moved it. So you would become a believer. That's how I was looking at it. He does bigger miracles in front of unbelievers than he does in front of believers because he's trying to win people to faith. Yeah. No. It was in a yard. No. Yeah, I have that same memory. When the first one worked, when you gave it to me, I realized it was spiritual. In fact, do you remember me saying to you before we went to the first corner, the first one's going to be the hardest? Do you remember me saying that to you? In my mind, getting started with this spiritual journey is the hardest part. Once we're started, we got some momentum. That's what I'm thinking. Spiritually, we got some momentum. So when you got the first one in, and then I got up and remember after the first one, I walked away immediately, and you're following me, going, "How did you do that? How did you?" You were going like that, and I didn't want you to see how big my eyes were that it hadn't worked. I just said, "Don't worry about it. It's a spiritual thing." I just said, and then when we got to the second one, and you did it again, by now I'm realizing, okay, God's trying to show him something. And we're gonna, it's the same thing. So then I did it the second time. And then when we start to the third corner, do you remember me saying to you, this one will be easier? I thought you did the third one. I thought you got the, okay. Well, make the third one, then you got in further. You definitely got it in further. Yeah. Okay. Then when I looked at you after the third one, and we're going to go do the last one, and mentally I'm thinking, okay, spiritually we're 75%. We're almost there. We got this thing licked, So then I turned to you and said, the last one will be the easiest because I'm thinking spiritually. And then you remember me saying that? The last one will be the easiest. Okay. Remember when we walked up to where we were going to put it? It was right between you and the auto parts store next door. And I hated I had said that to you because I looked and there's no dirt anywhere. It's all asphalt. And I'm thinking, what's under the asphalt? More rocks or more concrete pieces or whatever. So when I said to you the last one would be the easiest, I was thinking spiritually, not physically. Then when we got over there and physically looked at it, I went, oh no, why did I say that? Because, this may not be easy. Do you remember how easy the last one is was? It was like butter. God's okay doesn't always match what my expectations. Well, and I'm on shaky ground to me because this doesn't match my theology. What are we doing? I'm just trying to help a guy who's talking about suicide. I'm grasping at straws here. That's how I felt through the whole thing, even though I may have seemed confident to you, this was all new to me too. So he was teaching both of us some interesting things, and it's just funny to think back on it now and look how far this journey's come. And that's one reason I wanted to have you on the podcast, which I've never done before. Okay, well then, what else do you remember that day? Do you remember us praying together inside the building, or what do you remember? Heavy, heavy and dark. And the film shows that to some degree. The film tried to illustrate the mental anguish and turmoil that you had gone through on that property. We tried to illustrate that. Okay, well, when it's all over and said and done, we walk away and we go eat lunch together. How did you feel? I think sometimes we're spiritually exhausted, and we don't know how to describe that. You had been full of fear and anxiety and dread and heaviness and darkness, and then it was over. You were tired, but you felt a lightness. See, I think that's a big point that I want to make as we start to wind down here. I don't want to take you have a job, you have things going on. I don't want to take you all day. But I think many times churches bring people into the kingdom and they tell people, once you become a Christian, then nothing bad is going to happen. Everything. And that is a lie. That is a bald-faced lie. In fact, you just put a big old target on yourself. When you change from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, Satan wants you back. And it's so interesting to me, and I didn't know that, so I'm glad you shared that story on the podcast, that he attacked you in a dream the day you were baptized, and said, that water is full of the sins of other people. Yours didn't get washed away. Their sins got put on you. See, he twists everything of God, and that's his job, is deception. Took a while to get over that, didn't it? Okay. Is there anything else in particular that stands out that you want to share today? In fact, I came home and told my wife these things. She was raised as conservative as I was, and your story and others began to happen. I would come and tell her. She'd smile and say, "That's great, honey. Let's don't tell anybody about this, okay? I want people to think you're normal." I know. I know. Okay, well, one thing I want to say as we wind down, I want this to be an encouragement to you, but also we have a lot of people watching these who have lost a child. And you know, there's probably nothing harder than to watch your child die, to lose a child. And so let me not that let me think how to word this. I want to give encouragement to those who've lost a child. Your son who died too young was a Christian. He is safe with Jesus. You look forward to be with him again someday. There'll be a reunion. There are a lot of people whose children are living but have walked away from Jesus. And they know when that child dies, they won't be on the same side of the chasm when the last day comes, which is a much harder reality to face than what you're facing. So if you've lost a child, Bob is encouraged because he knows he will see his son again. And that's why I burned the envelope from Dad, is because it was his last request from me to burn to not look at that envelope. When I see him again, I can hold my head up and say, I wanted you to be proud of me, but what did that envelope say? What was in that envelope? So anyway, let me just encourage you, Bob. Thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for being a part. We know you've started a movement. You and me and God work together. God used you to teach me. He's used me to teach you. So it's a mutual thing. And then you and I have helped others find the reality of the truth that God's word is still powerful. He's still on the throne. Let me, and winding down, there's one more thing I want to mention. I recently finished a book, and it made me add some things to our instruction sheet on sharing staking the land. And what this book said was there are four things that the scriptures teach that defile the actual land. Four things defile the land. Leviticus 18, sexual perversion defiles the land. Deuteronomy 11, idolatry defiles the land. And by the way, Colossians 3 says greed is idolatry, so you don't have to be bound and idle to be practicing idolatry. Numbers 35 teaches blood or innocent blood defiles the land. You know, Abel's blood was crying out to God. We have all the blood of the millions of babies that we've killed in abortion, so blood defiles the land. And the fourth thing is broken covenants, Isaiah 24. We've all broken covenants with God. We've all sinned. And also, there's broken covenants with the Indians. There's broken covenants with each other. So these four things defile the land. And so what we're encouraging people to do is mention those things as they stake the land. Not just ask for God's protection. We all need that. But ask God to clean the land from sexual perversion, from idolatry, from innocent blood, and from a broken covenants. And I think we're going to see even a stronger difference being made as people do that. So thank you for being an example. Thank you for your soft heart toward God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your prayers for me and for our ministry, Active Faith, and for being willing to share this difficult time in your life that you went through, that now you can look back and see what an encouragement it's been to others. You know, Charlie Kirk was recently killed, and now look at how many people are reevaluating their relationship with God because they see his great example. And so let me just thank you for being here today. You guys watching, thank you for being a part of this, or listening, thank you for being a part of this. And before I sign off, let me remind you to keep praying, because prayer works. God loves you, and I love you. Thank you a lot, Bob. Y'all have a great day.